nappyafro.com.
Welcome to the Frocast, episode number 126, aka Storytime with GQ Blue. And now, here's your story.
Yo, what's happening? It's your boy GQ Blue, aka Ferragamo Guevara, aka the Pocket Square Kang, aka No Plantains Needed, aka the Black Harvey Specter. And you with me, chilling with the Frocast. Episode epic. Because I ain't got the feed in front of me right now, but I think you're going to like it. So the crew is out saving the world that we always do. King Germ getting ready for his boys to conquer the world of Little League football. Saul Rice booking Fortune 500 companies, travel arrangements. B-Eazy's with a fat chick on the private jet in Dubai. Head to the corporate office. And me, I'm on my way with Senator Kerry to try to calm down some of all this ISIS stuff. So on my way before I get on the jet, I'll give y'all a little story, a little story time with GQ. And I'm going to call this the history of the curve. Pause. Is that a pause? Fuck it. We progressive. GQ Blue supports marriage equality. Shout out to all my LGBTQ homies. What up? But yeah, so I was on Twitter the other night and I saw people talking about getting curved and getting played and whatnot. And I thought about it. I said, well, you know, I'll engage in a little self-deprecating humor and talk about the fact that, you know, even being, you know, Mr. No Plantains Needed, I've never really had to shoot down a lot of women in my life. Full disclosure, GQ Blue is fairly oblivious to women of the, I'm going to say to the opposite sex, so to women. I'm not super bad. I think it's just that I try to protect my ego so much that anytime I see a woman flirting, unless she's, you know, just grabbing on me or telling you, hey, let's go, I'm DTF, I'm going to assume that you're really being really nice, and I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be too rude about it, you know, just don't want to bother you too much. I think, as Michael Smith said it, shout out to Michael Smith and Hajimel. One time, he said that he left a lot of plays on the field. I've left a lot of plays on the field. And it's funny that I don't have the hindsight to know when a woman is flirting with me, but I do have the hindsight to be able to realize that I could have got some at that point in time. Usually, maybe a minute or two, 5 minutes, like, damn, she was quarterbacking me the booty, and I just missed out. But it's cool. And then it all worked out. Hey, Q. But so, yeah. Anyway, there's been a few times when I have had to be the rejector. It started at a very young age, and it's progressed throughout the years of my young, immaculate life. So the first time I can ever remember having to shoot a girl down was in the fifth grade. Girl came up to me and was like, hey, you know, I've been seeing you. You know, I guess she saw me on the playground doing my thing, throwing 20-yard hot route passes and everything. And, you know, answering the questions, getting all the questions right in social studies and everything. And she was like, you know, I really like you, and I want you to be my boyfriend. And so I contemplated that decision of whether or not to allow myself to be tied with this young lady. And I said, yes. And she giggled, and her face lit up, as it should have, because she was now with a young GQ Blue, just starting to come into his prime. No, not my prime. But, you know, I was starting to form my superpowers, you know, of looks and class. I think that's the time I had my very first pocket square. So, you know, I'm pretty sure for her it was a very momentous moment that she still remembers fondly, at least at that moment, because 20 minutes later, I thought about it and was like, you know, I don't want to break this girl's heart, but I don't think she's attractive enough for me to be with her. Not that she was ugly. She wasn't ugly. But, you know, for myself, and I do this to this day, because GQ Blue don't cheat. I don't cheat. I've never cheated. I can honestly say that. Q is not here to ruin me for me to lie, to say this, but I've never cheated. I've never done anything treacherous to a woman. I'm just not that kind of dude. I don't have it in me. But, you know, at the same time, I require a lot from the people I'm with. And I've developed that in this And one of the things you gotta be cute enough for me not to have too much of a wandering eye. I mean, of course, every man's gonna look, but you know, try to cut that down, keep it to a minimum as possible, you feel me? And so 20 minutes later, I was like, you know, I don't think you're the one. And so I told her that, and I know she was crushed. She had to be crushed. I know it had to be a very traumatic time too. It had to be like getting $1 million and then losing it all in 30 minutes, because that's how long it took for me to do that. And she actually hated me for the next 4 years, because we actually ended up going to the same middle school. So, you know, I'm sorry I broke your heart. But then again, I don't understand why you were so crushed. You know, you won't really want to share my snack that bad. I mean, we still sat next to each other, so I don't know what you're really missing out on. But I know, I understand, to be able to say that you were with GQ Blue at any point in time, whether we would be 5, 10, 15, or 25 now, is, you know, a huge deal. So I apologize. I really do. I didn't really mean to break your heart or anything. I wasn't trying to be rude. I was just trying to save you the pain and myself the pain of just something that really wasn't going to work. So, yeah, that was fifth grade. So fast forward to the 10th grade, and, you know, there was a girl. I went to shout out to PRP High School. Not really. I don't really have any high school pride. Yeah, that's not me. But I went to a school that was predominantly white. I don't want to Black Panther this episode out. So, but you know, as a young Black man, mostly AP advanced classes, I didn't see a lot of me. And you know, GQ loves everybody. But I still, at that time, especially somebody who was just reading France Fanon and, you know, Breaking the Chains of Psychological Slavery, you know, just was having a hard time seeing myself with the, you know, with the lighter sisters, if I can put it like that. GQ was everybody, though. And, you know, and we was actually cool. We kicked it. And I thought she was attractive a little bit because she had some big old, you know, she had some tig olds, you know what I'm saying? She had some tig old bitties, and that was cool, you know what I'm saying? Not really a breast man, but you know, hey, when you got something, you got something. But she was really pale, like really, really, really pale, and it just, you know, I'm like, you know, funny enough, there was a foreign exchange student who was in love with her, and people used to pick on him for being so in love with her, and I felt really bad that, you know, he wanted her so bad. One time, he went to the bathroom, and somebody took his backpack and took something. Okay, here's how the story went. She had a fruit roll-up roll, and she was like, hey, Prasanth, I need you to keep this for me and hold it for me, and keep it, because I'm going to need it back later. And it's really stupid. I don't know why he fell for this shit, but, you know. And so he went to the bathroom, and when he went to the bathroom, they took it out of his backpack. And when he came back, they were like, hey, I really need it back. Do you still have it? And that man was crushed. He looked in his backpack. He looked to see if he put it in his pocket. He nearly stripped to find this goddamn fruit roll-up roll. But anyway, so that's the girl that asked me out. And, you know, I told her, I was like, hey, you know, this time I knew that just wasn't what I was feeling. I was like, hey, you know, I think you're really cool. And, you know, we're friends, but I'm really not feeling it. And then, you know, once again, that look of hurt, not being able to be with GQ Blue, was evident on her face. This time was a little different, and she was like, oh, wow. Well, you know, I've actually been in therapy, and I talked to my therapist about this, and this is a moment I've really been working up toward for the past 2 months now. So I felt horrible. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to break this girl's heart. You feel me? What do you do with that? Like, I fucked up her psychological progression. And I still carry that bird with me to this day. Sort of. So, anywho, fast forward. That was 10th grade. 12th grade, I'm a senior. Now, I'm on my senior trip. And at this point, I was like, man, you know, I need a girl. I was simping at that time. I was on some I need a girl type shit. And I was like, you know what? Just let me find something. Let me find a little, you know, out of town romance. I was in New York. And almost as soon as I said it, you know, this girl walks up to me and we walk into the Nike store in Harlem. You know, I'm buying stuff. She's looking at me. I'm looking at her. I'm like, okay, she's kind of cute. Maybe this will work. But then again, my old ways start coming back. I said, you know what? You kind of have some discoloration on your face, and it's kind of not cute when I look at you. And now I'm not blinded by hormones and everything. You know, you're cool, but I'm not sure and everything about that. So I'm still kind of filling her out, trying to see if I, you know, what's happening with him. One, let it happen. We went to some Broadway plays. This is a school trip. We was in New York for a school trip, senior trip. So we're on Broadway seeing some shows. I'm not quite sure. I think she was trying to give me a handy J at the Broadway show because she was trying to touch more than my hand. And then later, I was like, hey, you know what? You know, I don't got no condoms or anything like that, so I don't know how far it's gonna go. And she was like, don't worry about it. And she pulled out this big ass 3-month pack of birth control and was like, we good. But I was like, you know what? Cause she like started telling me stuff about herself, and you know, she had already had like a lot of stuff going on. I'm not gonna put her all the way out there, you know, don't judge no women. I'm not judging the ladies out there, but I just knew that even at 18, and maybe I'm way too principled, because I'm pretty sure y'all listening to this and like, you should just smash anyway. But you know, I'm a principled guy. I'm a man of respect and morals. And I just didn't do it. It was really bad since that was my senior year. There was this junior I was kind of feeling, and it was like the last day of school. It was like some last week shit. We had some kind of like stuff we were doing. And so I bought a rose for this girl, and I went to her class to give it to her. And it was really bad. I gave her the rose in front of that girl that was on the trip. And I didn't set it up like that, nothing like that. It just happened, so I felt really bad that she had to get curved like that. And so that was that. Okay, so that was senior year. So progress on to my freshman year at U of L. And this is like right when I get on campus. And this girl, you know, she had with my roommate a lot. And I think they went to the same high school back in Lexington. And so she was around a lot. And like I said, once again, unless you aggressively flirt with me, I don't really know you into me. I'm not an aggressive flirter myself. At least not off the tip, right? I'm not going to... Let's be clear, GQ Blue is not a total lame. You don't get to be GQ Blue, the Pocket Square King, and not have any game. But for me, I'm not like a predator. I'm not like a carnivore, right? I'm more of an omnivore. So, like I said, like back in the old times, in the prehistoric times, you had your predators, you had your hunters, me, and you had your gatherers. Some went out there and killed and stalked their prey. Some went and got the fruits and the vegetables. I was a mix. I was a hunter-gatherer. You know, I could show that side, right? But it was always more reserved. So this girl was kind of feeling me, and we were in math class together. And she kept on trying to get me to help her with math. And I'm horrible at math. I'm not a strong math student. So she would keep, like, texting me and... And once again, my clueless ass was like, hey, you know, we should really study together. I'm like, I mean, probably not, because I really can't help you. And she was like, oh, man. And so one night, she was just like, man, I'm really having so much trouble with my math homework. I really wish, you know, somebody would come help me. And I was like, oh, man, well, shoot, I wish I could help you out. I'm not that good at math. And so then, you know, we stopped texting for a while. And then maybe I go back to playing the Xbox. And then all of a sudden, while I'm playing Madden, I get a text message on the phone, and I flip the phone open, because at the time, the hottest phone when I was a freshman was the Razor. I had the Razor. I thought I was killing with the Razor. I get a phone, and it's old girl in her underwear, and I'm like, oh shit, old girl out here, you know, in the picture of her underwear. She was like, oh shit, my bad, I didn't mean to send that to you. And then, you know, I was like, oh well, shit, don't worry about it. It's cool, mistakes happen. And I turned the phone off and I went back to playing Madden. And needless to say, she was pissed at me and she didn't talk to me again after that. So that was freshman year. So now jump forward about a year and a half. So like my beginning of my junior year, so I pledged Sigma my second semester, spring semester of my sophomore year. So I was new to the game. I was a Neo. And again, being a Neo and being my naive, wide, impressionable self, I really wasn't hip to game. And there was an older Zeta. And for you guys that don't know too much about black organizations, Phi Beta Sigma and Zeta Phi Beta are the only constitutionally bound Greek letter organizations, black Greek letter organizations, and they share a common bond. So Sigmas and Zetas, we go together, right? We both blue and white. We both share the dove mascot. Quick history lesson. So as a young, impressionable person, that was older, it was older Zeta. She was probably like, I think she told me she was like 35. And so she would be hitting me up on Facebook, on the Facebook Messenger chat and everything. And my, once again, impressionable Neo self thinking, oh, it's just an older soul trying to connect and trying to, you know, show love to young buck coming up in the game and, you know, make herself known. So she's telling me, you know, hey, we should really hang out sometime and, let me take you out to dinner and everything. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's what's up. And so then we go out. She says, oh, we can go to movies, everything. I was like, cool. I wanted to see Iron Man at the time. She's like, yeah, I want to see it too. Somehow we couldn't go to the movie because her schedule, my classes, didn't work out with her working. And so we said, okay, we're going to get dinner, right? So I go pick her up. We go to Old Charlie's. She says she's going to pay for it. I pick her up. She paid for it. First, I was kind of janky because she was paying with a coupon. Not that that's really janky because, you know, I've used the Groupon and everything, but at the time, before Groupon got real hot and everything, it just seemed weird. You know, especially with an old lady, like a coupon lady. She's older. Well, not really older, but you know what I'm saying. Y'all feel me. So we talking everything, and I'm kind of starting to get the sense that maybe this is not what I thought it was. And then we're eating, and then she gets right to the point and is like, yeah, I told my girl I'm going out with this young dude. She's like, yeah, with them young dudes. And I'm like, okay, funny little story, ha ha ha. Oh, your girl tripping on you and everything. And I was like, yeah, I just like younger dudes. And then I remember one time I was dating this young guy or talking to this young guy, and he didn't want to have sex. And I was like, well, what are you good for then? And then I was like, well, shit, I'm young too, and I ain't got no job, so you must be looking at me for one thing. And I'm sorry, but you know, she wasn't all that cute. And I better not hear nobody say, well, she was a Zeta. Shout out to the Zetas. Y'all lovely. Y'all beautiful. But anyway, so I was like, oh, well, yeah, check, please. Because, yeah, this ain't going down. Even though my friends told me, like, man, you should have just smashed it for the story. You should smash a 35-year-old. But no. It was going to work out. So she was asking me, well, can we go to the mall real quick? After I did that, I was like, okay, cool. So we drove to the mall. And she was like, I think I got my Victoria's Secret coupon with me. And I was like, well, you go do that. I'm going to go in Foot Locker. Well, she go in there. She didn't buy nothing because she didn't have a coupon. And I'm just thinking, okay, how do I drop her off ASAP? So we going and driving. And it's raining really, really hard. Like, you can barely see. It's like Noah's Ark 2010 at the time. And she's like, oh, man, it's raining really bad. Should you really be driving? Because I had to go past my apartment to drop her off to where she was at. And she's like, you know, I could really stay, you know, at your place. And I was like, nah, you really need to get back home. I understand you got a lot of work to get done. And somehow, somewhere, I made it to her place without dying. Because it was like 3 wrecks on the way to getting her back to her place. And I never talked to her again. So that was then. So shortly after that, and the reason that day even happened was because I just come out of a really, really bad relationship with a girl I was seeing for about maybe a year and a half or so. So this is my not brightest times. This is my listen to a lot of Prince time, A lot of soul music and brown looking time for GQ Blue. I was a little heartbroken. My very first real big heartbreak. And so my boy, my frat brother was like, hey, man, we got to get you, you know, on a date. So let's double date, you know. My girlfriend, well, his now wife, who was his then girlfriend at the time, was like, hey, you know, she got a friend. You might like her. We can all hang out. We go to a pub. We eat and everything. She's kind of, again, I always have this problem with women being kind of cute. Like, they're not, like, ugly or anything. But, again, I want them to be bad enough to where I'm not going to be tempted to step out on them. And, like I said, she was all right. You know, I had seen her a few times. We had kicked it and talked and everything like that. But, you know, I really wasn't really feeling her for real. Conversation seemed kind of stale. We went all back to her apartment and played spades. You know, after that, went back. And it was funny because, you know, we were talking like, yeah, man, her really didn't hit it off like that. I was like, nah, I wasn't really feeling her. I don't think she felt me. Like, yep, guess she ain't going to be talking to her again. And so I get a text the next day. It was a Friday night we went out. And I get a text the next day from her. Just like 2-page text. It's like, oh, man, I really had such a great time with you. And you so cool. And, you know, I was a little nervous about everything because I liked you for a long time. And see, I always feel bad that when, you know, somebody says something like that and I got to turn them down. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah. And that's all we had to say because I was like, I really didn't feel it. It was really no connection for me. So shout out to her. She ended up getting married. So props to her. I know she dealt with that heartbreak for quite a while, but she bounced back and she's married now and she graduated. So she's doing good for herself. I think she was able to get over it much more than that girl in fifth grade. I don't know what happened to her. Because I don't know what happened to her. She's probably doing horrible because I broke her heart at such an early age. She probably couldn't bounce back from that. So my last time I can remember really breaking a woman's heart or, you know, breaking her hopes and dreams was about last, no, it was last year. It wasn't a year ago. It wasn't 2 years ago. It was last year. So I just got a job and I had to go to training. And so I had to go to Atlanta for training. And there was a whole bunch of people there because it was a national job. I was doing AmeriCorps, right? So you had people from all over the country, had to do various trainings, and they had different sites. So my site was in Atlanta, and it was people from all over the country going down here to get this training. It was about 300 people, and it's going to be going all across the United States doing different volunteer-type services. Very meager pay, by the way. And if y'all in that AmeriCorps Peace Corps life, it's rough. Making it work on $4.75 an hour. But anywho, so I'm down there. You know, it's people from all different walks of life. Me as a fresh college graduate, it's some people who have been in the business sector who want to try something different, something new. So you got some people there that's like 60, middle age, late 40s and everything. So the people that I'm kicking it with, you know, it's mostly young people. It's mostly like myself, fresh out of college, you know, early, mid-20s and stuff like that. But there was this one older white lady. And she wasn't, when I say older, she wasn't like really old. She looked like she was maybe late 30s, early 40s. And I could tell that she was like a trophy wife. And she was like, yeah, you know, I had a husband, but we got divorced. And he was this, you know, big-time CEO. And I could tell that she was the type to, you know, spend all his money up. Probably didn't get the prenup. She actually reminded me of the woman in that movie Slackers. I don't know if y'all saw Slackers, but the girl, Laura Prepon, that plays old girl's love interest, like the girlfriend that got her locked up in Orange is the New Black. She played in that movie, and she played in that 70s show. But there was a scene in that movie where the guy who's forging his way or faking his way through college has to get like some test scores or something like that from the professor. Anyway, he goes to this rich guy's house and the wife is like, oh, sure, I'll help you. You know, just make sure you do this and this and let me give you some head. And she gave him some head. And then the husband comes in and sees him, but he's behind the drink counter or the counter at the bar getting some head from the old dude's wife. And he leaves and the husband dude don't know what the hell happened. And she gets in this big old kiss. And I was like, that's probably the kind of chick that you were. But so anyway, she's like feeling me and everything. And she's talking to me. And my roommate, was acting like a stereotypical black man, just infatuated with this white woman. Me, not so much. But she's all over me. We're at the bar drinking. It was the only really thing to do. I know it's kind of crazy, but we were like in Midtown Atlanta. So the entertainment wasn't that great, especially with a lot of people that didn't want to do, for lack of better terms, black stuff and not having a car down there. So I spent most of my time, when I wasn't in training, was just out drinking at different little bars. And this chick just wouldn't leave me alone. And at the time, me and Q had already been dating for a while, so I'm not about to go and mess that up. And she's like, oh, man. So I tried to put my boy on, but he had no game at all. And he told me, like, oh, man, I wish I was in your position. And so I was like, hey, man, you know, I'm trying to play the wingman. And she's like, no, he's just not doing it for me like you are. And I was like, shit. And then, you know, she was telling me how, like, you know, she could take her teeth out because she had done, like, a lot of drugs. Like she had done coke and everything. And, you know, she probably could have gummed me up really good. And that was kind of appealing. But, again, as a man of principle and respect and morals, I couldn't do that. I couldn't, you know, do that to Q with some white woman in Atlanta. Plus, you know, cheating in Atlanta with a white woman just doesn't sound right. It's not really ironic. So I didn't do it. I left her. Especially, it was really bad, though, because it was Valentine's Day. And she was really sloppy-ass drunk at the bar. And so I left. And then it was still kind of relatively, you know, early. But it was Valentine's Day, so a lot of bars were closed, you know, or closing down early. I don't know why you would think that you're supposed to stay open later because, you know, dudes trying to get their Mac on, trying to find that chick to take home. And so I'm trying to find somewhere to get something to eat and possibly get some more to drink. And there's this woman sitting at the bar, too. And I'm like, oh, y'all closed already? I'm like, shit, I'm trying to find a place to get something to eat, something to drink. And she looked at me, and she kind of smiled. And I didn't realize it, because when he told me, oh, man, we're closing, I was like, oh, shit, well, all right, well, and I left. And then I caught her in the corner of my eye, and I saw that she was really upset that I didn't catch her wink. So that's like a two-for-one curve. And, you know, I mean, hey, that's my story. That's GQ Blue's story, being the heartbreak kid throughout the years. Once again, man, shout out to the nation. Shout out to everybody that rocks with us. Shout out to the Fro family, the Fro Leavers. Once again, shout out to my homies, Saul Wright, King Germ, Be Easy. Shout out to the Blue and White family, Blue Fi. And as always, hey Q, and I'm out. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Frocast. You can listen to the show every Thursday on nappyafro.com, iTunes, and Stitcher. By the way, please rate the Frocast on iTunes. Also, be sure to visit nappyafro.com as well as nappyafro on such social media platforms as Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr. If you want to drop us a line via phone, call 1-347-201-2572. It's the Frocast, episode number 126. Frobot out.
nappyafro.com.